So we're going to have a conversation with a couple of long-serving employees exploring the history of what it felt like to be part of this business in the early years. And I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. So, first of all.
Hi, my name is Felicity Harris. I've worked for BMW since 1996. I've got 30 years service.
And I'm Mick Barnes. I work for PI 521, which is facilities management. And I walked into Plant Oxford on the 1st of November, 1989.
So, during this conversation, I'm going to be putting some questions down in front of you, but here's the first one to kick off. Describe a typical work day from the early years. So if you cast your memory back to some of those early years, what was it like, and how is it different to kind of how your work day looks now, accepting that you have probably been in various roles over that time?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think for me personally, it's really different. I started in manufacturing, and now obviously I work in HR. So from starting off working shifts and being ready and available from 6 o'clock in the morning, three shift rotation and various different changes within roles within that area, to now being in HR, and HR is something different every day. I think with manufacturing, you're very driven every day, KPIs, volumes, quality. I think the difference now is my day is completely different every day.
How about you, Mick? Back in that time, I actually worked 12-hour shifts. So it was 1600 to 1800 hours, and then after 3 days switching on to the night. So the shortening of the day has, you know, been a major change for me. I cast my mind back to ergonomics, where guys were working down in pits looking up bolting on exhaust pipes, and there was all sorts of repetitive strain injuries. And you compare that today, where the car actually tilts up for the guys and makes, you know, makes life so much easier and so much more friendly on the associates. So there's, you know, screwdrivers that the screws were put in by hand. Now they have windy tools. So it's come a long, long way from the early days to where we find it today.
And of course, the big thing we want to talk about is a bit about the culture. I mean, ultimately, we want to try and get to what is this mini spirit that we are part of at Plant Oxford and Swindon. When you first walked through the door in the earlier years, like, how would you describe the atmosphere back then? What was the culture like?
For me, back in that day, we've got approximately 4,500 people today. Yeah. Back then, it was closer to 27,000 people. So getting to work was an issue, because you'd got the shift coming out and the new shift coming in, and it was pretty much every man for himself.
It was vast. You'd just walk through the door and there would be seas of people, and you'd walk along the lines while the lines were still working. And it was just... it was incredible when you look at the numbers and the amount of people. It was just such a vast space, and the amount of people that you would see every day. And you'd still recognise people. That's the one thing that I always used to find. You might have had 20-odd thousand people working there, but you still recognise people, and you still knew so many different people and so many faces.
Okay, so it wasn't, even though there were more people, it wasn't an anonymous culture.
Not. No, not at all.
Okay. So how would you describe, in terms of, I'm wondering, was it formal, informal, corporate? Like, what was the atmosphere like?
Due to the nature of your work, you have to interact with lots of different departments. So you build up like today they call it a network. Yeah. But it's a band of go-to people that if you've got a particular problem, somebody almost automatically springs to mind that can help you with that issue, and then you get to talking to people, you know, while you're waiting for others to join meetings, and you get to understand a little bit about what they do outside of work and all the rest of it. And it's all about building a rapport.
Yeah, maybe so, that's something that sort of has stayed quite consistent over the years. Then hasn't really changed the importance of that network, only you had a bigger scale of challenge, it sounds like, back in the earlier days.
Yeah, I think the relationships and the bonds that you can build up, like Mick says, quite naturally, they evolve. And I think that they stand and for the test of time. There's still people now that I would phone that I've known for 20 years, and I still phone them. They'll be the person that I phone and say, oh my God, I need your help. Can you help me with this? And it's still the same person 20 years later.
Yeah. Now, you guys have seen lots of changes, in particular in kind of the production process and the technologies, and no doubt some of those changes would have been really positive, and some of them maybe were met with skepticism, or maybe they were, you might even consider them changes not for the better. What are some turning points in the company's culture that you see? Like when were the pivotal moments where you think something changed, either for the better, or you might say kind of made life tougher?
I think one for me, trying to go back into the memory banks and look, I think as a woman starting out within the manufacturing industry, way back when, I think there was two of us that started, so it was really unheard of. And I think now you can look, and the amount of women that are confident and comfortable to come and join manufacturing, and that they want to come and make a difference because of the mini spirit, because of the brand, because you aspire to work for such a desirable business. I think it's sort of testament. But historically for me, I think one thing I remember is when Ilka Horstmeier got promoted up to seniority. And I think it was a real key moment that you sort of went, wow, you know, there's a woman up there that says so much about us as a business and says so much as progressive as we are, which is something to be really proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. What about for you, Mick? What turning points do you remember in the culture?
So many over the years. I think there's certain individuals that sort of molded me in particular areas, because I'm a great believer in, you know, it's about the people for me. Yeah, it's a great product, we all know that, but it's the people that you interact on a daily basis, and I think there's been so many instances where that has come to the fore. I remember a particularly tough time that I went through on a personal front, without going into great detail, but my mum was diagnosed with terminal cancer and was taken from us very quickly. Shortly after that, my father committed suicide, and the people at work got to hear what was going on, and had a number of people come across to my office on a personal front to just check on me and make sure that I was okay. And you know, the support mechanisms, that's not about, yes, the company have those, but this was about individuals that had taken the time to rally round. Mm. So that for me was a real poignant time.
Absolutely. So, I mean, our colleagues don't necessarily have to be our friends.
Absolutely.
They're people we work alongside.
Yeah.
But when moments like that happen, you realise it's not just someone I work alongside, it's people who genuinely seem to care.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm talking about some senior people as well, you know, would come into my office, shut the door. And back then we didn't have coffee machines everywhere, we had kettles, and, you know, and they'd, right, I'm putting the kettle on, what's your problems, how can I help you, you know. And it was, is great to see. And on the other side of the coin, that made me, you know, the company gave me a lot of support as well in organising counselling to help me through that particularly bad time. Yeah. And having come through the other end, I've now, I'm glad to say I've been on the other side of things, where I've been the guy that has gone and tapped the door and return the favour, I guess, is you know, would be the right phrase.
Reminding people they're more than just employees.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the family feel. It's that difference that we can find amongst each other, I think. What we spoke about earlier with, you know, might be 20,000 people, but you still knew people, or you still were a relative of somebody that knew somebody. So there was always the kind of family feel.
Oh, definitely.
Around and within the business.
Yeah.
We've been speaking about leadership now through all of the development programs for probably 10 years or more, quite intensively. You've obviously seen a lot of different leadership personalities, for sure, over the years, right? You know, it's been some big characters. Even I hear about stories. But if you tried to kind of capture leadership style in general, what was the leadership style that was most evident in the business, like over the decades, right to where you see it now today? How do you see it changing?
I think there's been a distinction where we used to have managers and now we have leaders.
Okay.
I think we used to have people that managed our business, and then you had kind of a workforce, where for me now I feel a lot more of, there's a lot of leaders around. There's a lot of people that lead by example. There's a lot of people that their personality and the way they project themselves within the business is something to aspire to. And I think that's really important. And I think that's something that I've noticed, whether it's because I've evolved, because my journey's progressing and it's something that I'm witnessing, but it's definitely something that I'm more aware of now.
Okay. I mean, and that sounds like a positive change.
Absolutely.
So if we contrast that to like what we might have seen in the past, what are some of the kind of highs and lows about leadership styles without naming names of characters, obviously?
I agree with Fliss. There was a standing joke back in the early days that if you were a manager, it meant that you could shout louder than anyone else. So there's been a tremendous change in that. And I think a lot of things, I'm thinking of one particular character when I was in my early years of work, that he was so professional in everything he did. He, you know, the way that he presented himself, the way that he spoke, he'd never lost his temper. You know, even when the going got tough, and he was just one of those characters, left me with so many traits that rubbed off. I remember I'd made a mistake one day, and instead of taking me to one side and giving me a bit of a dressing down, he said to me, "I want you to go away and reflect and come back to me and tell me what you would do different." So I did that. Long story short, even today in the morning when I come into work, I put the radio on or CD in the car and listen to that. Puts me in the right frame of mind for my nice walk through the car park to my place of work. But on the way home, I always turn it off and I always reflect on the day. And that was something that he'd sort of instilled in me many, many years ago. And I still sort of follow that and do it today. Is there anything I could have done better today?
What strikes me about that was, I guess, of that era, that style stood out.
Very
like
much.
In contrast to how Very another much. Leader may have treated that exact yeah. same scenario.
Yeah.
My wish would be that we look at that as not an extraordinary thing now, but yeah, rather that yeah. isn't, that's a reasonable expectation
yeah.
that is. And maybe the person who stands out is the one who does the shouting and, you know, that type of behavior now.
Yeah, very much.
Hmm. Absolutely. What about, I come back to cross-functional working, silo mentality. And when I started engaging in some of the work with the LDP program, it was always about breaking down those barriers between departments. Now, you must have seen a lot of different attitudes and approaches towards people in different areas of the business. So what changes have you seen over the years regarding like how one function views another, or maybe even down the line, how we talk about different areas? Were there highlights and lowlights?
Yeah. It's the us and them, isn't it?
Yeah.
It depends upon where you work. I've worked, like when I said in manufacturing, I've worked in quality functions, and it's very much from different sides of the business and how it opens up with parts quality, manufacturing quality, and the different areas. And you think that you've got to try and get the best out of people. You need to communicate. And it goes back to that network that Mick was talking about. If you've got that network of people and you've got that bond, you bring out the trust. And when you don't have that and you've got maybe somebody new that doesn't know you and things like that in a business, you really need to build that bond to be able to open the barriers, to have some trust in these conversations. Because otherwise it is just like, oh, you've done this wrong and you've done that wrong. And I think that goes, that's the change, that when you've got somebody that you trust working opposite you, you can have a communication, you can create this network. And when you talk to people, they trust what you say. And they say, like, okay, and they find that then accept, because you're credible, they accept what you're saying and they accept your message. Whereas sometimes if you're completely unknown, it's, well, what have you done that for? Why is that? And then you get barriers. And that's obviously what you don't need, because that's no help to anybody.
Right. So when it was kind of, dare I say, like at its worst, like the divisions between things, what kind of things do you remember from the past about how there might have been tensions or competition or blame, and to what extent has it shifted?
I'll be fair, I do remember Hams Hall was running over 25 years, but there was always a statement at Hams Hall where we were a no-blame culture. Okay. So it's very much a no-blame culture that was something that was driven into
like
people.
A mantra.
Yeah, because it's a no-blame culture. If you've done something wrong, as Mick said, you come back and you try again. You reflect on what went wrong and we'll analyse it and we'll come back and make sure we can do better in future. But it's a lot easier said than done in a lot of environments. And this is when you go from the manager to the leader, depending upon the people, the place, the environment. Some managers blamed a lot more than others.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. What would you say about that aspect?
I'd say we're better armed today than we were back then, because there are so many training packages available and tools that we use to identify problems and to deal with those problems. So we're far better armed, you know, to deal with these, and also you've got the experienced people that have been through something similar before that have always got points that they can rely on, that have, you know, instances where they've used this, you know, this before. So they've got knowledge that they can draw on. For me, I think the company have put a lot of time and effort into people.
We've evolved, haven't we? I think we've learned our lessons across the business. I think we've seen where mistakes have been made historically. Yeah. That's why we do things like the interventions that we're doing today. Yeah. These sorts of things are there to benefit and help everybody in the business, just to make it better for the next generation that come along, to learn from our lessons.
Yeah, and maybe we're getting to a point where there's not really an excuse anymore now, because as Mick says, the tools are there. Right, we've kind of learned. We know that it's not a very pleasant environment if we're chucking rocks over to another side of the fence, as it were.
Yeah, but you've also got the so we sit down regularly with our management team, and if there is a shortfall somewhere, there is something in place to address that. But not only that, it's not about waiting for someone else to point that out to you. If there is a particular discipline that you don't feel fully comfortable in, you've got the autonomy to be able to go and address that yourself. And again, you know, talking to, you know, the right people in the right departments, you know, you can get, you know, they'll point you in the right direction to enhance those skills and better arm yourself to deal with it next time round.
What's one thing that we do now, either practically, technologically or culturally, that if I told you 20, 30 years ago, this is what we'd be doing, you probably wouldn't have believed it?
I can answer that. So the gentleman that I referred to earlier, I used to have a great big desk, and I had about 20 different fire prevention manuals across the back of my desk. And I remember him bringing the first computer into the department, and it had got this magical gold button on the keyboard, and that seemed to do everything. And he said to me, he said, Mick, in years to come, all of those manuals will go, and all of that information will be contained on a machine like this. And he walked out and I thought, you know, I agree with you 95% of the time, but you could not be, you know, you could not be any more wrong in my eyes on that front.
Okay.
And,
well,
yeah. There it is.
We won't be printing out loads of paper these days, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going through leaves and leaves of paper to try and find a particular point.
Yeah.
Where we know where we are today. Everything's at the touch of a button.
Remember going to the drawing office, you saying that? That's brought back a memory.
Yeah.
Going into the drawing office to try and find drawings for things. It's halfway across the site.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's interesting is, you know, we chuckle at this, but probably if you tell me stuff about AI... AI is going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. I probably am in that, you know, skeptical mindset. And me in 20 years' time is probably going to look back and say, yeah, I never realized that. So, you know, we shouldn't dismiss those comments too lightly because we're probably living through an equivalent, aren't we? How about it for you, Fliss? What's something that you remember? You go, me of 30 years ago would never have believed this.
Do you know? I don't know. I think the computer one that Mix brought up is a good point. The me of 30 years ago.
It could be a way of working. It could be a culture, a volume of work or reporting lines or manufacturing processes. I mean, there's just such a change in how powered vehicles.
I think some of it is the automation that we have today. I think way back when it used to be everything was done by hand. Okay, we may have had tools to support us within half of that, but as Mick was saying earlier, the way that we've evolved in our manufacturing where things are presented to support the guy on the track or the girl on the track that's doing that job and making it, and it makes the whole process more inclusive so that everybody is available. It's not just the biggest guy's got to go over there so someone can reach the top and the smallest person's got to go over here so we can reach the underneath. The reality now is that we've changed everything. It's so much more agile and flexible that everybody can do everything, which is what I really like about the process.
At the risk of kind of going back into like, the idea of the good old days, because those days are not coming back and we need to look forward. But if there was something from the history, from your history, that you would like to bring back from the historical culture, something you think we've lost over the years, what would you quite like to see if it were possible to come back?
I think it's more of the community feel. I think although we have our networks, as Mick and I have both said, that we find people to be one of the most important things within our business. It's almost to connect that with the business and to make it more of a community feel, bring that family feel back and bring it into the day-to-day business. Mm. Yeah, I think bringing the community and the family side of things back in is really important. I think it's great for people's morale. And I think encouraging people to have a pride in what they do and that realisation, I think is really important.
Yeah, and then it does become more than just a job.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. How about for you, Mick?
I think your approach to colleagues, you know, there's a vast difference from when I first walked in the gate to today. I certainly from my perspective, I try and think what I'm going to say before I say it, where back then I just, you know, freely made the point the best way I possibly could. Whereas you have to take people's thoughts into consideration. And that's not a bad thing, but...
Are you more self-aware?
Yeah, that's... I couldn't have put it better myself, really. In actual fact, I sort of took down a quote to sort of make the point, and it was it made me chuckle at the same time, but it sort of ticks the box. And it was just a pop-up on my phone, and it said, being funny at work is a delicate balance of being just funny enough to entertain your co-workers without winning an appointment to the HR department.
I like that.
Yeah, exactly right. I've had many a discussion about when is banter okay and when is banter not okay. So exactly that.
Yeah.
But humour is something that bonds all of humanity together. Yeah. And it's one of the most important ways to, if a team is seen to be cohesive, is when they have good humor with each other. And also, of course, conversely, when that's not present, it's one of the early indicators that we don't quite have the right level of rapport with people. So if you cast your mind back over all the years, you know, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad, here we are finding ourselves at this point in time. What? Not everyone will be able to compare what exists now to the history that you guys have. What would you want to celebrate about where we are right now? What is worthy of celebrating in terms of our culture and what we now have that maybe we don't appreciate always?
I mean, the point that you make there straight away is we're guided to celebrate success now, whereas previously, you heard from your manager when there was a mistake that had been made, and other than that, you know, praise wasn't sort of given out lightly. And I'm not saying that it is today, but what I'm saying is where it's due, then, you know, it is given out.
Yeah, celebrating our successes. I think previously everybody was always told what went wrong and what we were doing wrong, but nobody ever said what we did right. And I think one of the things now that does happen is people say, we've done a good thing there. We've recognised this and we've acknowledged this and we've done a good thing there. And it's not necessarily about individuals as it is departments and areas of the business. So that was a good thing and it's promoted, which is brilliant. Stealing things with pride is what I always like.
I love that. So if someone's listening to this and they're saying, well, you know, I don't think I get enough praise. Like, one thing might be, if you put it in through the lens of history, we're getting much more. And for sure, we could make an argument that it could be even more. But there's been a real, in your opinion, you can see a visible cultural change.
I remember way back when, and I had a manager, and if you tried to say, oh, look, I've done a good thing. Well, that's your job. You're paid to do that.
Yeah, ouch. That's the point I was just about
that's,
to come to.
That's your job. You're paid to do that. And that's the, I might be paid to do it, but it would just be nice if you recognised it.
And then you would take that away. So when you did something and it really did make a difference, you then believed that that was the case. And it was like, well, you know, that's what I'm here for. So it becomes part of everyday part of your working life. Whereas now we're actively encouraged to, you know, take a step back and just, you know, have a look where we were, where we've got to, the steps along the way, and to, you know, to be able to take pride in the part that you played in whatever it was.
So we're trying to discern, like, what is the mini spirit? And in my mind, for that to be a true thing, it would need to be something that has been consistent over the years. It needs to be like a thread that runs through this business, and people may change. The leadership team might change. The technologies we're using to build vehicles could change. But this thing seems to have remained consistent in the plant. If you were to try and kind of put a word to that, what do you think is the thing that defines mini spirit? What's the consistent thing that's been visible over the years?
For me, I think it's the ability to evolve. I think everything that we've spoke about is evolution. I think from decades and decades on, the experience that we've got, this business has evolved year on year. It's such a changing world. We've spoke about going with the first computer to AI. As a business, we're evolving, we're resilient with the everyday market and everything that is out there. And we're evolving to keep pace while maintaining our quality and everything we do and keeping our core values. And I think being able to evolve while keeping our core values is incredible. And I think that's what keeps us going.
Right. So I'm wondering whether, like, other parts of the group, for example, may be setting up in a purpose-built factory. Yeah. And they're beginning from zero like now. And yeah, everything's very new, but we have a track record of being able to adapt and change and to keep pace with all of those changes. So that might be a skill we don't recognize. We might look jealously at the new builds and sort of say, oh, yeah, but they may not have that history of having to change and learning how to keep doing it. because it was kind of ready formed for them to step into, as it were.
Absolutely.
Right, that's not even something I would have considered. That's really an
interesting insight. Point that you make there, because we've just opened a new plant and it's there's been an awful lot of support from all other plants that have actually, you know, been sent there to start instilling some of these, you know,
absolutely
ideals.
Something that you can't just start with. You sort of get it through history.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, and it's down to characters that we've met through our, you know, walk through life that make an impression on us. You know, some good, some bad. And you think, you know, that's a quality that I would really like, or I wouldn't want to, you know, I wouldn't want to adopt that. So, yeah, there's, like I say, there's lots of, it's not like you're starting off with a blank canvas, yes, but along the way, even while the factory's being built, there are people over there, you know, supporting and helping to make it happen.
And what about for you then, mate? I mean, there's a lot of other jobs in the group, lots of other places and roles and things we can be doing.
Yeah.
What is it about? What is it about Oxford or Mini or, you know, something? What is it that we've got with the kind of Oxford Swindon dynamic?
I can relate this to almost on a tribal front.
Okay.
Now, let me explain that. I'm a very big football fan. Mm. West Ham are my team.
Unfortunately.
We've just lost some listeners. Carry on.
If I see somebody in a West Ham shirt, it's almost like there's almost instantly like a bond. And you might just put your hand up as you walk past or whatever. And it's very, very similar within, you know, the working environment. You know, you see people outside, somebody that's just stopped off at the shop to grab some things before they go home, still got their shirt on, you know, work polo shirt, and you see their name and you instantly know that they're one of the family. It is an extension of the family.
Right. And that sort of ties back to one of our earlier type themes. So maybe this is something that is very consistent. I could imagine going to a lot of organizations that have 4,000 plus people and it not being, we're part of the same family, or I meet you in the street. I mean, there's 4,000 people. What connection do I have? You know, there must be a lot of organizations that would struggle for that to be a meaningful connection.
I would very much agree with that. I mean, if you, you made a point earlier about different departments. So my department, I want to spend money because there are things that need to be maintained and the upkeep and, you know, the image of the place. We've got guys that work in finance and in purchasing. They're trying to keep as much money, in the bank as they possibly can. So instantly there is a difference of opinion on what we want to do. But in my experience, everybody remains professional, and it's nice that there is trust there. So if I say, you know, we need to get this done, then they're reliant on me making sure I've done my homework and I've got, you know, the best quality job for the best price. And it's all about sort of finding that happy medium in between, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and a little advert for another recording that we're going to do, which is where we get a couple of GMs together to ask how they resolve those kind of differences when they pop up, because that is another aspect. One person's target could be could be a challenge for another person's own targets themselves. And we're going to have that conversation for exactly that reason.
I'd like to listen to that.
So I was always told with these things, you know, you've got to honour the past. And I think it's a fine line between kind of reminiscing about like the good old days and things were better, but also just honouring kind of the history that we're bringing with us, knowing what it is that we want to celebrate, what it is we should be appreciative of and thankful for, because maybe we don't always know how good we've got it in today's world, but also maybe like what's the baggage we have to leave behind? Because actually there might be some stuff where we go, I need to let that go now, actually, because it is a different era. So what is it you would want like people in the business to know about the time they're living in right now? For Mini, I guess, as a brand, as a product that we're manufacturing, what's a message you would leave people with?
I think for me, the levels of communication now, you know, we get video messages explaining what's, you know, I tend to look at the coal face that I'm chiseling away at, but you get the messages from on high as how the business is working at, you know, at the highest level.
So you know what's going on in the company, yeah, more than you did in the past.
So much more. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. I mean, we you know, we had a meeting yesterday, and it was you know, so many positives brought to the table. But it was also it's a realistic message as well, because, you know, as part of that was, you know, the phrase was used to get the point over, you know, when you're spending money, think of it as if it's your own. We know that there, you know, there's tough times, you know, for everybody out there at the moment. And that puts it into perspective. Yeah, we all need to pull in the same direction and do everything we can. And I think we've been in similar situations to this previously, and you know, we're still here, we're still building cars, we're still proud of you know, what we're turning out.
I do think it's about perspective. I think that's the perfect word. I think when you look at it, when your head's in the middle of a breakdown, when you're having a bad day and everything feels like the world is against you, you kind of got to stop and look around and get some perspective. You're working for a world-class company with a leading brand. This is the Mini. You're not making cardboard boxes. You're making a world-class product. You're fortunate enough to be part of this experience and this journey. And I know we all have bad days, and I know it's difficult, but at the same time, we're all here to do a job, and I love what I do.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you both for your time.
You're welcome.
Enjoyed it very much. Thank you.